Good morning, St. Bruno. In today's gospel, we heard about John the Baptist. And we know from Scripture that he was the one crying in the wilderness. We heard a couple weeks ago, he said, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." He was baptizing people in the Jordan River, but he said, "One greater than he is to come, and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." He was announcing the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But John spoke the truth. He was a prophet. And when he saw his King Herod marry his brother's sister, he spoke out and said, "That's wrong." And the cancel culture existed back then, and King Herod put him in jail. Not only in jail, but he put him in a cell on the side of a mountain near the Dead Sea, 120 miles away from Jerusalem, to keep him quiet. And he was there for 2 years in that mountainside prison cell. And you can imagine being there in a mountainside prison cell at night, in the dark, wondering, did I do the right thing? Am I really following God? I got myself in a mess here. This is not going to end well when a king puts you 120 miles away in the desert. So he just didn't sit there because he was a man of action. He was a rough and tumble type guy. And he said, I have two friends. He got his friends over and said, "Go see Jesus. Go and tell him and ask him this question. If he's the one or is another one coming?" Now, John saw Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River. He said, "You should baptize me." And then he baptized Jesus and saw the Holy Spirit come down upon him. But being stuck in a cell for 2 years in the desert makes you shaky a little bit. And it shook him up. He didn't lose his faith, but he was questioning. And so the messengers went to Jesus. And Jesus probably called them close. "Come on, let me talk to you. You have a question for me. What is it?" And they said, "John wants to ask you this." And he probably looked them square in the eyes. And he said, "The blind regain their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them." They took this back to John. You can imagine John's joy because those are the words of Isaiah, the prophet. And he said, I'm doing the right thing. I'm stuck in a prison cell, but I'm doing the right thing. And his faith was strengthened. He knew Jesus was the Messiah without a shadow of a doubt. All of humanity, like John the Baptist, is looking for hope in different aspects of our lives. Many times we hope. We hope for the protection of our children. We hope for enough money to retire one day. We hope that our lives are going the right direction. Did I make the right decision? Did I vote the right way? Today, in front of us, there's the image of the perfect virgin of Holy Mary of Guadalupe. To the Mesoamericans, this was an image of hope. We see it, and we see it from a different cultural perspective. We see it from an American perspective. We see it from a Catholic perspective. We see a lady with her hands folded, praying, her knee bent, looks like a mestiza woman. It's very nice. But to the Mesoamericans, it was completely different. This image was given to Juan Diego. In 1531, where he was, and she appeared to him in Tenochtitlan. And she said to him, build me a small house. And she came from heaven to talk to this man to build her a small house? Why? What is this small house going to do? And she told them, because I am truly your compassionate mother. Because there I will listen to their weeping, their sadness, to remedy, to cleanse and nurse all their different troubles, their miseries and their sufferings. She wanted to give the decimated people of Mexico hope. Our Lady was speaking to Juan Diego and gave him this image. But this image not only spoke to Juan Diego, but to all of Mesoamerica, because they were decimated by the Spanish. They lost their nation to the Spanish. They lost their culture to the Spanish. They lost half their population to the diseases brought by the Spanish. And now they were being forced into slavery by the Spanish. And before that, in their own culture, their religions would take people, their neighbors, their friends, their children, and sacrifice them, kill them to their gods. They had very little hope. Now, some people may say, very caustic people, they may say, oh, well, those are the fortunes of war, survival of the fittest. That's humanity speaking, with no compassion or love for the other. But that is not the view of God, because he knew their loss of hope, and he sent Mary to give them hope. He understood how the Mesoamericans suffered in their cultural death, in their human sacrifice to feed their gods. And he sent Our Lady of Guadalupe to give them hope. Now, why Mary? Why did God send Mary? He could have sent angels, but he sent Mary. Why Mary? Because she had personally experienced human sacrifice. She was at the foot of the cross seeing her son sacrificed. She knew the feeling of no hope. She knew the feeling of misery and loss and suffering. And she came to tell the people that human sacrifice has ended with her son. And through him, we have eternal life. We have life forever in heaven. And to the Mesoamericans, heaven was the flower world. And if you look at Mary's gown, it's full of flowers. So they knew she was from the flower world. They knew she was from heaven. When you look at this tilma made of cactus fiber, the cactus fiber should have deteriorated in 20 years tops after it was woven. It has lasted for 491 years. It's miraculous. This image shows her most inner identity. The Mesoamericans use symbols. And if you see, go into Mexico and you see the symbols of the ancient culture, you see all these different carvings. Well, what do they mean? To the Mesoamericans, they meant everything. This image shows her in a turquoise tilma. The tilma, if you have it over your shoulders, meant you were royal. If you had turquoise, it meant you were an empress. If it had stars, it meant you were from heaven. That's the codex of the Mesoamericans. So right away, seeing that image, they knew she was from heaven, and she was royalty. She stands in front of the sun with the rays behind her, meaning that she's more than their sun god. She stands on the moon, which was the home of their gods, She dominates all their gods. Her loose, long hair meant she was a virgin. And the black band around her waist meant she was pregnant, a pregnant virgin from heaven. The jasmine flower over her womb meant she carries the perfection of the cosmos. And her folded hands meant she was bringing a gift. And her bent knee meant she was dancing before God. The gift of her son, the true God of the universe. The Mesoamericans saw this. They understood it. Before this image, not too many people were turning to Christianity. After this image, 9 million people came to faith in 10 years. They heard about this image, saw this image, understood this image, and knew who she was and came to be baptized in droves. Our Lady of Guadalupe showed the people a new way of life by listening with compassion and mercy. Their old world was destroyed, but she told them how to build a new world in love with compassion and mercy. And it's still true today. In these troubling times, and we all have troubling times, with fears of government corruption, attacks on Christianity, natural disasters, wars, abortion on demand, consistent acts of mass murder, the problems in our church, our family problems, and our sicknesses. We too need to lay down our fears at the feet of the Virgin de Guadalupe. Because she wants to listen to us, brothers and sisters. She wants to hear our weeping, our sorrows. She wants to comfort us. And she wants to point us to her Son, the one true God, who can feed us with his body and blood, transform us, and make us more like him. So, to Mary, our mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, do we go with our weeping, our anxieties, our hope, and our joy to dust us off, to straighten us up, and to comfort us in our troubles, and, of course, to give us hope. Que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe. Que viva San Juan Diego. Que viva el Cristo Rey.
Viva. Viva.